Hey, Abby.
Hey.
So, I have a few questions for you.
Bring it on.
Was it your first time in Egypt?
Yes, this was my first time in Egypt.
And how was that experience in general?
It was a mix of so many things. Excitement, a bit of confusion, it was such a surreal moment because everything I have done throughout the year culminated at COP27. So it was amazing for me to see that I've come this far with the support of a very great team behind the scenes. And so another thing that was such a beautiful experience was the fact that we had a lot of young people across the globe coming together, building solidarity and collaborations and just, you know, fighting for climate justice. So it was quite something.
You attended COP26 last year.
Mm-hmm.
What was different this time?
So at a personal level, COP26 was my first time at a COP. So confusion, feeling lost was the order of the day. But this was different because it was my second time, and at least I had learned a few tips and tricks on how to navigate the space. What was also very different this year was that I was actively engaged and really interacting with young people, and I spoke and interviewed so many young people from across the globe, from Jordan to Nigeria to South Africa, who are doing such amazing stuff back at home, creating awareness within their communities. And so also one thing that happened that has never happened before was the fact that we had a children and youth pavilion in the blue zone. So the blue zone is where all the action happens, and then we have the green zone where there are side events, exhibitions, etc. So actually having young people in the blue zone with a space where they can interact, be creative, collaborate was such a beautiful experience, and it really inspired me to keep going because you see just how hard young people are working and are aware that climate change is affecting them, and they're doing something about it. They're not just shouting, but are also doing a lot of action at home.
What are your expectations?
I'd say to some extent yes, and to some extent no. So if you've been listening to the podcast, you know we've been asking our guests what their priorities and expectations were for COP27, and some of the issues that were highlighted included loss and damage, included the delivery of the $100 billion promise for climate finance, for adaptation and mitigation, and also a bit of just energy transition was also captured in some of the asks. So at COP, we finally have a loss and damage finance facility established at COP27, which is a big win for vulnerable communities who are already have gotten to a place where they no longer have the capacity to adapt because, you know, the climate crisis is hitting them really bad and they keep losing their properties, losing their lives, etc. So having that finance facility actually set up is such a big win. But the next steps or the next question that we need to ask ourselves is, where does the money come from? Who is responsible? How will this money flow to communities who need it the most? So in that regard, that was met. What I felt was not met was the fact that adaptation, which is what Africa needs the most, was not given the attention and love that it deserved. And so the call for a doubling up of the adaptation fund did not actually make it to the final decision, which is also disappointing. And then this particular COP had so many fossil fuel lobbyists, over 600. That is like the biggest delegation from all the parties that were present. So it means we really had to fight hard to push against narratives such as the push for fossil gas in Africa. And I think in one of the episodes, which was episode 6, we really talked about fossil fuels and what that means for Africa and African communities with reference to countries like the Okavango Delta, which Ina Maria Shikongo really shared deeply about. And so we left Egypt without the text really just did a copy paste of what the Glasgow Pact talked about, which was they never really talked about oil and gas. It was just coal, and it was again the face down and not face out. So that was also disappointing. But beyond that, something that was very positive again is so much solidarity that I saw from young people from civil society really coming together, doing very creative stuff to fight for climate justice and to have things like the Loss and Damage Finance Facility actually set up.
So is there anything else you want to add on that?
Yes, actually. So more than ever, well, this is just my second COP, but I left there feeling that this particular process is really slow and we need to reevaluate and really rethink and see whether this is what we want to be doing for the next couple of years. And in one of the workshops I attended, we were asked to give a message to COP 37, that is 10 years from now. And it took me aback because I asked myself, will we possibly be doing the same things in 10 years? And one of the groups that we were in said, gave a message to young people who will come after us saying, we're very sorry we failed you because you're still talking about the same things 10 years later. And this particular COP was supposed to be an implementation COP, and everyone called it an African COP. But has it actually delivered what our priorities as Africans were? The issue on just energy transition was not really apparent, and we didn't get the desired outcome. So it begs the question, is this process really fast enough? Is this process something that will deliver real solutions to communities? Or can we just go back home and really continue creating awareness and continue impacting communities one life at a time? Because I feel like at a very personal level, I have more hope in communities delivering solutions for themselves when they come together and they only act from a point of information. So I really just want us to go back home and focus on communities, build their capacity, build their resilience, create a hub for information so that they know what they need to do in case of a climate disaster and what they can do to mitigate the impacts of climate change.
And do you have any parting thoughts?
I'd say for the first time, I really feel like a lot more people are joining the movement, and that's because climate change is affecting every aspect of our lives. It cuts across all sections because we literally depend on the natural world for our food, for our well-being, for our industries. So it's very wonderful to see that it's not only governments who are coming together to have these conversations, but we have the non-state actors, we have young people, we have civil societies really willing to contribute to the conversation and to push for agendas that are beneficial to the communities and also making sure that the environment is safe, which is what we call sustainability. So my parting shot is that let's keep doing what we do. Let's go back home. Let's build better. Let's build resilience in our communities. Let's spread the message whenever we can, because we only act from a point of information. And I think it is high time that everyone is aware what is happening to us, because as Africans, we know the climate crisis is here with us. The impacts are here with us. We live through them on a daily basis. So it is so important that we learn that it's happening, and then also knowing what we can do to find solutions for the crisis.
Great. Thanks a lot for your time and that passionate parting shot.
Thank you.